fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Lusaka, where the Football Association of Zambia named the 50-year-old Serbian Milutin Micho Sredojevic as the new head coach of the national team this week. Magume Davis Rakawinj reports Coach Micho has his eyes set on qualifying Zambia for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament.
Speaking at the unveiling event in Lusaka, Zambia, Coach Micho promised to ensure the Zambian national team, commonly known as the Chipolopolos, qualify for the Cameroon 2021 AFCON finals.
African football needs Zambia and we need to show practical ambition and practical execution to wish to go back to Africa Cup of Nations. Zambia belongs there.
The Chipolopolos won the much-coveted AFCON final in 2012 and have been finalists on two other occasions. Yet the Zambian team failed to qualify for the 2017 and 2019 editions. Micho is very much aware of the big task ahead of him. His team lies on the bottom of Group H with no points to talk about after suffering a humiliating 5-0 loss against Algeria and a 2-1 home defeat against Zimbabwe.
It is challenge, but fully aware of responsibility that we have no right to let you down, Zambia and Zambians, and Zambian football. We shall not allow things to go away from us. Never say die, never give up, need to be our identity in next 4 matches. Same like suicide bombers. We go to try anything we can to show that we belong where we belong.
Micho's first task will be a double header against fellow COSAFA member Botswana in March. Sports reporter Brian Kawalia says Micho can have a positive impact because of his vast experience in African football. The Serbian helped the Uganda Cranes to qualify for the AFCON finals in 2017 after nearly 4 decades of absence.
I remember we had not been at an AFCON for the last 39 years then, and before he left, he had put behind some good structures on the national team, and it was no surprise when we returned to AFCON in 2019 in Egypt. I think he understands players. He looks into much details about the opponent the team is going to face.
You also have to finish on top of Group B in the World Cup qualifier that has Tunisia, Mauritania, and Equatorial Guinea to give Zambians a chance to participate at the 2022 Qatar FIFA World Cup. Micho has previously coached in various African countries, including Rwanda, Ethiopia, Sudan, South Africa, Tanzania, and Egypt. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Elsewhere in African football, Nigerian striker Odion Ighalo says he was so desperate to join Manchester United, he took a pay cut to make the deal happen and did not sleep the night it was agreed. The 30-year-old Ighalo has joined Man U on loan from the Chinese club Shanghai Shenhua until the end of the season. Ighalo says his mother cried at the news and there were parties on the street where he grew up. For more reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the media officer of Nigeria's national football team, Toyin Ibitoye.
My reaction to Ighalo's move to Manchester United was one of pleasant surprise. I'd been reading about speculations about the move, but I never knew that they were real. And so when it started gathering a lot of momentum towards the end of the deadline day, I became pleasantly surprised. And at the end of the day, when it worked out, I was so happy, just like a lot of Nigerians are happy. Odion Ighalo is such a good guy, and I'm happy that his dreams are finally coming true.
Do you think Ighalo will change his decision to make a comeback to the Super Eagles?
about a return to the Super Eagles for Odion, whether I would change his mind or not, is a very, very tricky question. Only Odion Ighalo can answer that. But for me, if Odion comes back today, I'll be very happy. And I know a lot of people in the team, players, officials, and the coaches will also be very happy. But that depends, of course, on Odion Ighalo. Whether I will change his mind or not, only Odion can conveniently answer that. But he's a fantastic player, hardworking, very professional, no airs around him, very approachable, very accessible, a friend of the media, fantastic guy. So we love him. If he comes back, I'll be very happy. But let's see how it goes. The decision, of course, is Odion's to make.
Do you also think other Nigerian players will have the opportunity to move to big clubs?
I think we have a lot of young players who are coming through and who are showing a lot of promise, a lot of potentials. And I pray they continue to improve, they continue to develop. Definitely in a few years from now, you see a lot more Nigerians moving to big clubs across Europe. So, yeah, the future is very, very bright for our players. And I'm happy that Odion is at Manchester United. You have Victor Moses at Inter Milan. Of course, you have Osimhen now in Lille. It's a small club, but there's a lot of promise for him. And the future is bright. Chukwueze in Villarreal. Simon Moses at Nantes. A lot of Nigerian players are playing regularly, playing well. And once you are playing regularly and playing well in a small club, the opportunity of moving to a bigger club will be there. So in a few years, I think we will have so many Nigerians who will move to bigger clubs. It's not just about moving to bigger clubs. It's about playing regularly and being able to fulfill your potentials, even at a big club. So I think the future is indeed very, very bright for our players. And let me use this opportunity to also celebrate Sonny Young. Forever looking young, but getting older. As he celebrates his birthday, we wish him the very best and pray for long life, good health, happiness, and prosperity for him.
Thank you for those nice birthday wishes, Toyin. Yes, I am getting older, but thanks to my family name, I hope to remain forever young. That's Toyin Ibitoye, the media officer of Nigeria's national football team, the Super Eagles. And Toyin spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Toyin Ibitoye, the media officer of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the Great Lakes region has a turbulent history marked by conflict at the expense of its citizens. Human rights in the Great Lakes region on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
The Voice of America. VOA.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. During Tuesday's show, I mentioned the National Basketball Association's annual All-Star Game on February 16th in Chicago. Four players who will feature in that popular exhibition contest: LeBron James of the Los Angeles Lakers, James Harden of the Houston Rockets, Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets, and Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks all had big games Tuesday night to help spark their respective teams to victories. Let's tip off with LeBron and this report from Los Angeles by the AP's Mark Myers.
LeBron James went on a scoring barrage in the fourth quarter, pouring in 19 points in the final period to propel the Lakers to a 129-102 win over the Spurs. James made five consecutive three-point baskets during an incredible three-minute span that allowed the Lakers to coast easily to victory. James finished the game with 36 points, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds. Anthony Davis and Kyle Kuzma each added 18 18 points. DeMar DeRozan led San Antonio with 28 points. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. Now let's go to Houston, Texas, where James Harden had another explosive night for the Rockets. The AP's Adam Spillane reports from Houston.
Behind James Harden's 40-point night, the Houston Rockets overcame a 15-point first-half deficit to beat the Charlotte Hornets 125-110. Harden shot 11 of 26 from the field and 14 of 15 from the free throw line. He added 12 assists and finished a rebound shy of a triple-double. Harden explained the reason for his team's slow start.
We weren't playing smart enough. You know, they were doing a lot of slipping, which caused indecision and which caused them to be able to get some open shots and open drives. And then rebounding, you know, we gave up too many offensive rebounds at the beginning of the game.
Daniel House scored 22 points for the Rockets, who have won three straight games. The Hornets suffered their fourth straight loss despite 20-point games from Terry Rozier and Miles Bridges. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. From Houston, let's go to Denver, Colorado, where Serbian center Nikola Jokic had a big game for the Nuggets against the Portland Trail Blazers. The AP's Bruce Morton reports from Denver.
The Trailblazers' impressive four-game win streak came to a halt when they fell to the Nuggets 127-99. As is often the case, Denver was led by Nikola Jokic, who logged 29 points and 13 rebounds, both game highs.
I was feeling good. I made a lot of shots in the first quarter, and that I just keep shooting and keep kind of being aggressive.
Portland came into this game after winning four in a row against the Pacers, Rockets, Lakers, and Jazz, but Denver pulled away in the second quarter and coasted to victory. For the Blazers, Damian Lillard was held to a team-high 21 points, this after scoring 30 or more in eight consecutive games.
Tonight just wasn't our night. They made shots, they executed better than we did, and we just weren't at our best. So, you know, we might be that team in the next game. It's just, that's just how it goes in the NBA.
Bruce Morton, Denver.
Thanks, Bruce. Meanwhile, the NBA's reigning most valuable player, Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, again showed he's worth more than a few bucks. Giannis had 34 points and 17 rebounds, and the Bucks defeated the host New Orleans Pelicans 120-108. Milwaukee has the NBA's best record, 43 wins and only 7 losses. Elsewhere, the Basketball Africa League, or BAL, is scheduled to begin its inaugural season next month. With 12 teams scheduled to compete, the push to man those teams is in high gear. VOA's Adam Phillips visited the inaugural BAL Combine in New York, where some top African basketball players showed off their skills to both BAL and NBA scouts.
Cold winter sunshine poured onto the gleaming wood courts at the Brooklyn Nets Training Center as 50 hand-picked African players hailing from 20 countries trained together and competed together in five-on-five scrums under the guidance of NBA coaches. Each player had already played at the highest levels in American colleges and universities, or internationally, or in NBA second-string G Leagues. It was also a big day for NBA Africa Basketball League president Amadou Gallo Fall, who organized the combine with a dual purpose: to fill out the 12 teams that will start the BAL inaugural season in March, and to entice NBA scouts looking to bolster their American teams.
We want to attract elite global talent, create a very compelling basketball product. Essentially, this is a recruiting initiative for our teams to come and evaluate talent and hopefully sign them to their roster.
During a brief, sweaty break between scrums, Nigeria-born Yusi Eregbu of Sacramento, California, said he dreams of an NBA career.
Yeah, that's always his dream. For any basketball player across the world, you want to be in the NBA, that's a goal. So this is a stepping stone to that.
Now, are these rivals or friends out there?
A lot of these guys are friends I've met along the years, traveling and stuff like that. But on the court, you had no friends. If you're not wearing the same jersey I'm wearing on the court, I don't know you. And I gotta go at you like I never met you before.
Nearby, Olelekan Ajayi, also Nigeria-born, sips some Gatorade and evaluates the competition. A three-time Student Athlete of the Year at Eastern Michigan University, where he was also class valedictorian, Ajayi has played in Spain, Mexico, Tunisia, and Angola.
What are you here for, like, in the heart? Like, what does this day mean to you?
This is a great opportunity to get an invite from the NBA for this combat. And I understand that nothing comes easy. You know, nobody gives you anything in America, anywhere in the world. You know, you have to work hard and gain what you want. So that's why I've been successful so far.
I think some people, you know, think, well, if I come to this combine, I don't get into the NBA, like, I'm toast. But it doesn't sound like that's the only thing. That's not the be-all and the end-all for you.
No, because not everybody's going to be picked. You know, I've done my job, and I let God take control. It's none of my control. What is my control is take care of business on the court, and I've done that. And then if this don't work out, I always have step one, step two, step three. You know? But I know this is going to happen because this is what I do.
Play ball, play ball.
But Ghana-born John Magnoplange, who directs the Basketball Africa League strategy and operations team for the NBA, reminded us that the BAL will be about elite club competition in its own right.
For me, just having this first combine sends a message to the basketball world that Africa, right, is a destination for top-level talent. So currently, if I'm a high-level basketball talent, of course I would want to play in the NBA. I want to try out for the G League. I may want to play in Europe. Africa is not even on my radar. And that's what the BAL is meant to do, is to say to these young men that if you're good, Africa should be a location and a destination for your talent. Gives you a chance to go back to the continent.
Indeed, for some contenders here, simply being chosen for the BAL would make them true winners. Obai Aget of South Sudan received his invitation to the combine only a week before it started.
I was excited because this is a big opportunity for me to play back home. I played here for 4 years in college, and my family didn't watch one game because it's difficult for them to actually get here. But now, if I can make this league, I can go back home and play back home, and they can be able to come watch me. And that's a dream for me.
What's another dream you have?
I actually want to see this league in like 5 years to be all over the world, because there's a lot of kids in Africa that love basketball and look up to the NBA players.
Were you one of those kids yourself?
I was actually influenced by Lualdeng Munudwo from South Sudan.
The scouts at the NBA Combine were understandably mum with the media about who they want for their teams, either in the Basketball Africa League or its parent organization, the National Basketball League. However, one thing is sure. Come March, sports lovers in Africa and beyond will have some serious new action to watch on the court. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Adam Phillips reporting from New York.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
About a year and a half away from the kickoff of the 2021 Women's Rugby World Cup, organizers have made a big announcement, as we hear now from my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Tuesday, World Cup organizers revealed the tournament is set to make a historic journey to the Southern Hemisphere for the first time in its history. Committee Chairwoman Dame Julie Christie made the announcement from New Zealand.
All match and training facilities and accommodation will be on parity with international men's tournaments and the 2011 event. The tournament and its associated celebrations of rugby and women's sport will take place over 30 fantastic days from September 18 to October 16, 2021. Matches will be played at Waitakere Stadium in West Auckland, at Northland Event Centre Whangarei, and here at the home of rugby, Eden Park.
Last year, World Rugby announced it would no longer include gender in their titles, so the upcoming women's tournament has been branded simply RWC for Rugby World Cup. World Rugby Chairman Sir Bill Beaumont says the move solidifies the governing body's commitment to equality, brand consistency, and inclusiveness.
More children, men and women, playing the game. I think that's the legacy. It's a World Cup, and it shouldn't be necessarily just predominantly just aimed at the females. You know, we want to capture everybody that's involved in rugby.
World Rugby hopes next year's tournament will build on the success of the 2017 World Cup, when a record number of viewers and spectators watched New Zealand win their fifth Women's World Cup title. The New Zealand squad hopes to defend their title on home soil and Eden Park, the country's largest stadium, and host to two previously held men's finals in 1987 and 2011. And New Zealand halfback Kendra Coxage says she hopes the 50,000-seat stadium will be filled to capacity.
As players, that would be awesome. And I guess it starts this year with the games that we've got. You know, the more people that come to that, then hopefully the more that come and support us during the World Cup. But expectations are high, and if it can be like the 2011 World Cup, that would be awesome.
In the upcoming draw for RWC 2021, New Zealand, England, France, the United States, Canada, Australia, Wales, Fiji, and South Africa will be joined by three more nations to make a total of 12 teams. That draw will take place later this year. And that is all from me, Sunny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. We'll give a shout out for South Africa's female rugby team, as well as their world champion Springboks, who captured the world title last year in one of my big sporting highlights for 2019. Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. World Athletics says it's deeply saddened to hear that Ethiopian distance runner Abadi Haddis died Tuesday at the age of 22. Haddis died of an unspecified illness while being treated at a hospital. He was a regular competitor on the international track and road circuits. In 2017, while still a teenager, Abadi Haddis won a bronze medal at the World Cross Country Championships in Kampala, Uganda. The year before that, 2016, Haddis represented Ethiopia at the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, where he finished 15th overall in the men's 10,000 meters race. His last competition was last year's World Championships in Doha, where he exited in the heats of the 5,000 meters. Abadi Haddis is one of only five men in history to have bettered 13 minutes for 5,000 meters, 27 minutes for 10,000 meters, and 59 minutes for the half marathon. And speaking of the half marathon, Athletics South Africa has named its team for next month's World Athletics Half Marathon Championships in Poland. The team is led by national record holder Stephen Makoka, who clocked 59 minutes and 51 seconds for the half marathon in Argentina last year. Stephen Makoka went on to finish fifth at the full marathon distance at the World Championships in Doha. The 35-year-old South African will be making his seventh appearance at the World Half Marathon Championships. Meanwhile, South Africa's five-member women's team is led by Glenrose Shaba, who will make her World Athletics Half Marathon Championships debut in Poland, after clocking 1 hour, 9 minutes, and 46 seconds for the distance last year. And that wraps up the February 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to VOA engineer, PJ Elliott. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
This is Science in a Minute.
The European Space Agency's new solar orbiter is being readied for a planned February 9th launch from Cape Canaveral in Florida. Its mission, a collaboration between the ESA and NASA, includes making close-up observations of the Sun from high latitudes, which will allow the spacecraft to snap the first-ever photos of the Sun's polar regions. At its closest approach, the spacecraft is expected to come within 42 million kilometers of the Sun's surface. The spacecraft has 10 state-of-the-art instruments that will capture high-resolution images of the Sun and its outer atmosphere, called the corona, as well as measure its magnetic field and the solar wind. ESA says the Solar Orbiter's mission will provide unique insight into how the Sun works within its 11-year solar cycle and how it might be possible to produce more accurate space weather forecasts. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Hi, this is Larry London inviting you to join me on February 14th for Border Crossings Presents Urban Chart Legends. Some of the biggest names in urban music, jazz, R&B, hip-hop. It's all on one program on one day, February 14th. Michael Jackson, Kendrick Lamar, James Brown, and many more. Tune us in starting at 1500 Universal right here on The Voice of America.